getting prosperous living from cover to cover. As we study the Bible from Genesis to Revelations, we see God's provision for the wealth and prosperity of his people, consistent throughout all of Scripture. From Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, you're going to see God's plan of redemption and prosperity through the whole thing. Well, from the Garden of Eden right on to our eternal home, the Garden of Eden meant what? We were blessed in the Garden of Eden. When we were in the Garden of Eden before we got put out, we were evicted before our ancestor, and the one that we were all related to got evicted before the big eviction. Everything was going great. But somebody got smart, and there was a big eviction. They served notice on it and put some angels out in front of it and say, you're not allowed in here no more. That's basically what happened. So God started us out in this great place, the Garden of Eden. So in the beginning, we were blessed, right? Because we were with God. And you know what? The end of all of this, if you stay with God, you'll be even blessed again. In heaven, we're blessed. In the Garden of Eden, we're blessed. So if God started us blessed and wants to end us off blessed, then what happens in between? If we stay with God. So it's God's intention for us to be blessed. Now, when we pray in the Bible, we pray, Scripture, Jesus told us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Anybody getting evicted in heaven? Anybody broke in heaven? Anybody poor in heaven? Anybody scratching just to get by? Heaven is a what? A prosperous place, right? So thy will be done where? Now, we thought that we were only going to be prospered in heaven. We'd be playing amiss, right? When it says, thy will be done where? As it is in heaven. So heaven is a place where God does what who wants to do? What God wants to do, right? So whatever you see in heaven is what? God's will. So God wants a little bit of heaven to happen on earth. True. Amen. True. We're going to find that out in Scripture. True. You know, we can't get it all down here, but we can get enough of it. Yeah. He can use some of these earthbound things, just a glimpse of what's to come. So if he started us out blessed, he's going to end us off blessed. Yeah. Now, you got to find this out in Scripture. How many of you find it? How many of you thought when you first heard the prosperity message, it was just people that were just thinking, talking about money all the time? Yeah. Just selfish people that all they wanted to do was talk about money, 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 money. But you got into this thing and found out that it was Scripture and that it was God's will. Yeah. And I want you to be solely convinced. And not embarrassed about it, but bold about it. We got to know what we believe and why we believe it. See, a lot of people can't stand in what they believe because they have no Scripture to back it up. They're just ignorant. Somebody talks to me and they say, what do you want in life? I said, I want to be a ruler. I want to be blessed from head to toe. And I want all God's got for me. I won't be satisfied till I get all that God says I should have. And you can have it all if you walk in that light. We believe that God's will, that it is God's will for us to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. All right. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Everybody remember the law of first mention? The thing that's most first mentioned is most important. You want to find out something? Do you know? It said, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and all that stuff. Skip on down to verse 28. And God did what? What was the first thing God did to him? What's the first thing that God did to man? And God blessed them. God got right to it. He started off. He blessed them, and God said unto them, what? First thing God told them. What was the first thing God told them? You know, it's the first thing. Be fruitful and multiply. And then in one scripture says, brother and sister, I wish above all things. Don't say above everything. It is important. It is important. And here the first thing God said, listen, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Well, did God tell you now, I'm going to create you? He created man and said, now have just such struggle a little bit. No. Go around the earth and make your own way. What was God's intention? His word is his intention. His word is his intention. So what do you got to do on earth today? What do you got to do on earth today? What does God want you to do? Want you to be blessed and be fruitful and multiply. I got the number one command over my life is that I might be fruitful and multiply. I mean, what a command. You know, many times we just think that we want to prosper for our own good. It's nice to prosper, but I thought about it today. I said, oh, Lord, I got to get busy because God's coming back and everybody's going to give an account for the life that they live and what they did for their with their life. God wants us to be fruitful and multiply. And he wants us to take over and to subdue the earth and to have influence. That's the command over our life. Notice he said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed. In verse 29, God said, listen, first of all, be blessed, and then I have given you. So we say, what did he start off with? Taking stuff from you? What did he start with? He started off, he established this relationship from the start. I mean, right from the get-go, God said, this is what our relationship is all about. First of all, it's going to start like this. You just sit there, and I'm going to bless you. Then I'm going to give to you. You just receive. 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 And we need to get to the point to where we start to walk in that same light. Say, getting back to my responsibility. Yes, getting back to my responsibility. Letting God be God and me be what he wants me to be. I'm just going to let his word be planted in my heart, be fruitful. See, he already spoke it over you, and that word didn't die. Amen. See, God already spoke something over your life. He didn't spoke die over your life. He spoke the word over you. See, he started out that was a word spoken and a seed already planted in you. There's a seed already planted in your heart. God told you, it's in your bloodline. Adam's bloodline is in all of you. Even better than that, you got the bloodline of Christ Jesus because he is the second Adam. But you can pick up where Adam left off, and there's a word on your life and a command on your life, the best covenant you could almost possibly imagine, that said, be what? Fruitful and multiply. And God made sure that his word is not going to return to him void. And he gave them what? He said, listen, I give you every herb bearing what? See, that's what people want. See, they want God to give them fruit. See, God didn't give them fruit to start with. What did he give them? He gave them seed and told them, now you be fruitful with the seed. Said, I'm going to give you the seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding what? A tree yielding what? Seed. Don't just get satisfied with fruit. Get happy about seed. Get happy about seed. Seed is the first thing. He gave you, what did he give you before he gave you fruit? Seed. See, and someone said, all I got is this. Well, that's what he gave Adam. The people that he gives a command over them to be fruitful and multiply, he gives them what? Seed. So you can have a bunch of fruit in your hand, it's going to go rotten. You can't consume it all. It's hard to save fruit for the future. But you can put a bunch of seed in your hand. If you got seed, you can have about 100 apple trees in your hand. How many apples can you hold? How many tree apples can you hold in your hand? How much seed do you have in your hand? The rich man has seed. The rich man has seed. So many people are trying to hold on to things that perish. But the rich man has seed and potential. I have given you every green herb for meat. And the last thing he said in verse 31 was what? And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was what?
Good.
Very good. So everything he gave man was what?
Very good.
Everything he blessed him with was what?
Very good.
What was in the Garden of Eden? Everything he was talking about was what?
Very good.
Did God put you in the midst of bad? Did God put you in the midst of evil? He put you in the midst of what? Very good.
Very good.
Say, that's what I was born into. I was created into something very good. So God's purpose for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. God's intention for you is to bless you and to do good.
Amen.
That's his intent for you.
Amen.
He knows what kind of atmosphere you do best in. He's going to get you back. He's creating heaven because that's what you belong in. You look better. that way. Anybody want to wear a wedding dress to a junkyard?
No.
No. God creates heaven because he created you, and he said, behold, it's very good.
Amen.
You're heavenly beings.
Amen.
That's where you're destined to be.
Right.
That's where you're going. That's where you're going.
Amen.
God just didn't, he had to create a garden to put you in, to put mankind in. And behold, it was very good. Now, who did the altering here? Who did the alterations? We can see that God's original intention for man was a what? Full life, health, prosperity, and provision, and exceeding abundance. We can obviously see in our day and age that mankind is not walking in that type of life in great measure. So what happened? What happened? Where did we get poverty, lack, sickness, and disease? When God created all those things, and he said, now I'm going to create this wonderful tree here, the beast of the field, and the little cancer bacteria. No, he didn't. Turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. People, you're going to get it in your spirit. To where when evil starts to happen, you're not going to accept evil over you and say, oh, just Lord, just help me go through this. You're going to say, I don't belong in this mess. I wasn't created for this. This is not where God wants me to be. I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. Thy will be on earth as it is in heaven. Don't live in what the devil did. You've been delivered from that. You've been delivered and restored from that. The moment that Jesus shed his blood, died and rose again, you were set free from the curse. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. I like that, and to keep it. We know that meant take care of it. I like that, but I take it the other way, and to keep it. See, God, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God gives you something that intends for you to keep it. And you better take back what the devil stole from you. I know what they were trying to say there, but we're going to say it this way. Keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, we're going to learn something about the New Age movement. There's a big thing going on, the yin and the yang. Anybody seen that? Good and evil, that both the gigs together. You can't have good without evil. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God set us up only knowing the one. Catch this. Catch this. Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The day you eat of that tree, you're going to die. According to verse 17, what did God tell Adam and Eve would happen if he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, you know that word. Oh, anybody want to break that down a little bit more? Now, we know there are three types of death. Do y'all know that? Anybody know there are three types of death? There are three types of death. One, there is spiritual death, physical death, and the second death. There are three deaths. And what God was basically talking about, the moment that you eat of this tree, said the day that you eat of it, you're going to die. Well, after they ate that thing, they dropped dead right then and there? No. Spiritual death started there. But it was not physical death that he was talking about completely at that point. He said the moment that you eat of it is the moment you are spiritually going to die. Turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. See, you got to understand how the devil is. See, the devil tries to tell you, hey, you can know that stuff. You ain't going to die. That's not going to kill you. Now, that word knowing, everybody circle the word knowing. The word knowing there, we need to break, it means acquainted with, familiar with, to discover and to know, to make it your buddy. So the devil said, listen, you can be acquainted with both God and also evil at the same time. You can know the good life and the bad life at the same time. Isn't that what the world, the devil's trying to tell people today? You can experience life. I mean, there's life in this, there's life in that. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light and life, doesn't he? He is the life. There is life in no other than Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And the devil tries to say, you can find a real life over here. There's life over here, life there, everywhere. Knowledge, you can be acquainted with both styles and still live and still experience the quality, prosperous life that God wants you to experience. You can still walk in the Spirit and also stay in the flesh and have prosperous life. God says, no. Prosperous life was meant to those that walk in the Spirit that follow God. You don't have to have the other side. You don't have to have the other side. People used to sing dumb songs. If you never had bad days, you wouldn't know what a good day is. That's crazy. Good day was a good day whether you realize it or not. If we didn't have rainy days, we wouldn't learn to appreciate the sunshine. I don't need the rainy day to tell me that the sun is shining. You can know, you can experience life, experience both good as well as evil. Guess what? Guess what? From glory to glory, from blessing to blessing, for the mercy of the Lord endures forever, you were created to experience the best. And there is a plane that you can walk in as you walk in the Spirit. Your path, the path of God shines brighter every day. Nothing the devil has to offer you is going to make you any more spiritual. Sickness is not going to teach you how to trust in God more. His word will. Many people say, now you just got that lesson to teach you how to love God more. It's going to teach you something. Just walk through that. It's going to teach you something. He gave us the Holy Ghost to teach us. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? What's the Spirit? I mean, why do you need the devils? The devil, I mean, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Yeah. Then God said, now I want you to learn some more about me. Come on, Satan, teach him up. Teach him up real good. He's going to use sickness, death, and disease to teach you how wonderful Jesus is.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now, was there sickness, death, and disease before? Was sickness, death, and disease before? Then was he walking with God and God talking with him? What's better to have God face to face? God walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the midst of the garden. And they were getting along just fine, finding out all this stuff. Don't expect to learn anything from anything the devil's got. Don't you accept cancer as a teacher? Don't accept poverty as a teacher? You get the Bible and the Holy Ghost and let that teach you. Amen. If that were the fact, I mean, you could go down to MD Anderson down there and you walk down the hall, all you hear is tongues as you go down the hall. I mean, it'd be theologians. Well, that was good. You just had a flu. Here's 6 credits on your Bible degree. But that's how people are. The Word of God should be your teacher. In all things we are to give God thanks, but the Word of God needs to be the teacher. And you don't need to experience evil to have knowledge of God. Now, he said, listen, the tree of both knowing, now being acquainted with, then that word good, the word good represent pleasant, pleaseth, pleasure, precious, prosperity, sweet, wealth, welfare, and favor.
Woo!
And that's what you had before. What? God is what? God is good. And there's enough in goodness to take care of you. The goodness of the Lord will lead you to repentance. There's enough in the goodness of, you'll be okay with goodness. And that's all God, that's all that's in your diet is the good. I'm serious. A little bit of bitter make it taste sweeter. No. You were created and put in the midst of the garden where there was what? Good. And the devil said, then listen, you need to know the other side. You know, if you eat of that tree, you'll know. Now, you already know the good. We can be so silly sometimes. I mean, I've seen people know the goodness of God. I mean, how great God can be, all that he wants to do. And that's not good enough. Anybody met people like that? I mean, God gives us all these promises. Happy, got peace. You can get drunk in the Holy Ghost. You can have it all. You live well. You get sick. You get healed. And then people get in church, and after about 3, 4, 5 years, you know, they just get to the point, that's not good enough. I got to know me a little bit of evil. And I can still live. Knowing just a little bit of evil. I got to taste some of this other stuff. Let me get my dabble my hands over here. He said, knowing. Now, this word evil, Eve was a crazy woman. There was a wild side to this woman. It's like today's society. I mean, they just can't enjoy pleasure. They got to pierce this and pierce that pain. Whip me, beat me, destroy me. I'm serious. She wasn't as dumb as people making her out to be. This woman had a problem. No, I'm serious. Somebody said the devil deceived her. He did not deceive her. I mean, it wasn't as much as this. He told her straight up. He said, the tree of knowledge. He said, listen, you'll know both good and evil. And she said, okay. It's like people that get caught up in worldly things. Take this crack pipe. You'll know that it's real good. And people take that stuff knowing the evil that goes with it. Take this drug. Knowing the evil that goes along with it. Men with women, they know you ain't going to get no quality of life out of that. You can look at it and tell. No. Go on with it. You'll be happy. You know how it's going to end up. But you can't leave it alone. There's a bunch of stuff. Listen, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that eternal life is abundant life. There are so many people that crack me up. You know it's no good. And you know it's going to turn out to be wrong for you. But go on with it. Run with it. Be silly. I mean, people act like the devil tricked you. No, you didn't. He didn't trick you one bit. You dig it in the trash can, you're going to catch something. And I see Christians all the time with their heads stuck in trash cans. There's a table spread before them, and here they go looking in this dump and looking in that dump trying to find God's best. I'm telling the truth. You see it all the time. And then we, like preachers, try to tell people, that's trash. You don't have to tell them that's trash. They know. You can just smell it. Some stuff people eat and it stinks before they even get it to their lips. And we're crazy. And thinking, I can eat this and still live and it's still wonderful. It's the truth. It's the truth. Anybody met people like that? Acting just like Eve. Acting just like Eve. And it's worse when you get the woman leading the man into dumb stuff. Let's just go dance over here. Now listen, he said, you'll know both good. He said, you'll become acquainted with the good. Well, what did she need to? She already knew what the good was. She was already in good. So that's, she didn't go to know the good because she already knew the good. She already had favor, abundance, and prosperity. She already had that stuff. So that's not what she was truly looking for. Because she already had those things. She wouldn't know this other stuff. Like that's going to do her some good. You understand? Listen, let me tell you what evil means. He said, when he said the word evil, he didn't just pop out and say the word evil, knowing good and evil. That's our English word. But he communicated this to her when he said evil. You will know, okay, adversity, affliction, bad, calamity, displeasure. You'll be displeased and distressed. You'll have evil, misery, noisome. You'll be sad, sorrow, and have trouble, be vexed. And things will get worse. And you'll know that. You'll be just like God. Anybody ever seen them crazy movies where the people taking the stuff and the people fall out and the other guys go, man, that's awful. It killed them. They see somebody hit on something that they shouldn't have hit on, took some drugs or something, and the person goes out and you think, oh, my Lord, I'll never do that. And it's a big joke today in some of these shows. And the guy goes, man, he died. Look at that. Then the other guy goes, man, give me some of that. You ever seen it? Man, I gotta have that. You know, one guy hits and he drops dead, and the other ones go, oh, you think they're going to go, oh, my gosh, this stuff, I quit. You can hang it up. The other one go, man, I got to have me some of that. I'm a pastor. I see it all the time. I see people, turn the TV on. You know, the same alcohol being drunk all the time, and you see it all the time. You drive down the street. See the man with the bottle? They don't got a job. He's asking you, can he clean your windshield? And Christians got all the goodness of God. They go, man, I got to have me some of that. And the devil says, you can have that and still have quality life. That's the kind of people you see that want to hang out with the toilet right before church on Sunday morning. Because they partied all night Saturday night, then they want to be in church on Sunday morning and still have quality life. It don't work that way. When you run off to find the thing, if you're going to go off and do the misery, have it in abundance. Have it in abundance. That's what God is. If you're going to do it, have it in abundance. Have your fill of it. God's not going to trash your misery party. He's not going to turn around and bless you as you're seeking evil, you're seeking wrong and seeking death and all this stuff. Why would he come along and bless you in that? Did he jump? God is everywhere, knows everything. He saw the devil and saw what he was doing right at the moment. It wasn't like that he was up there busy, he was on the telephone talking to some other planet someplace, and the devil was working Eve over. He was right there just checking it out. What does that mean? He was there the whole time. Did he jump in and say, oh, no. Oh, no, don't do this. I bet you was like, what? Jump to it. Go for it. Have all you want. Get the whole dose. When you make your decision, you expect some angel to keep you out of trouble? Mm-mm. You better sniff around. Start sniffing and start smelling. Dumpster, trash, no good, no quality life. When you meet your mates, you can smell it. Mm-hmm. Don't make no excuses. I'm going to work with this one. It'll be all right. I'll work this one over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to be working. But you're not working with nobody. You'll be working by yourself. Don't you get nothing you're going to improve it. You ain't going to improve a thing. Oh, no. Here, Adam and Eve and think, Eve was so stupid. We do the same thing every day. But I just check stuff up all the time. That's not God's intention. That's not God's intention. For you. Let me tell you what, if God wants you to be blessed, he's going to give you a blessing. He's going to give you something saying, now work with this. Hallelujah. I'm going to put you in an incomplete garden of Eden and you work with it. Oh no. He brings you a helpmate, not a project. See, many people are looking for husband and wife and what they get is a job. Okay, what did the serpent say concerning God's word to Adam? Satan said, you won't die. Come on. You're going to be fine. Your dream's not going to die. Your inspiration's not going to die. You ever seen uninspired people? They have all this inspiration, and all of a sudden the inspiration just gone from them. Dead on the inside. You see them driving down the road all the time. Dead. He was saying that you can live without God. The wages of sin is death. Jesus is life. There is no life without Jesus Christ. Period, point, blank. That's what the devil was trying to tell them. God was not there. And listen, she said, no, look, life is in God. Life is in God. He said, no, life is in that tree. Knowing this and knowing that. You can exist without God. You can be like God. Right. All right? They died spiritually and were separated from God. Turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin. Because of one man, that granddaddy, Adam, sin entered into the world. Couldn't have things good. I'm enjoying this, and it's the truth. It really is the truth. We want to spiritualize things, but that's really what it was all about. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Death came in by one man. But by Jesus Christ flipped the whole thing around. That as death came by one man, life might come through Jesus Christ. And if you choose Jesus, who can only offer you good, what is the problem with people can't choose anybody that'll do them good? I mean, we didn't have a problem with choosing bad, but you start letting somebody start talking about good, start talking about, you know, God's out to bless you and do you good to give you an expected end. I don't believe that. Now Jesus comes to set us free and to set it back where it was before. He says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor, to turn around everything you got from the devil, to put it right back the way that it should be. He came to put it back on the earth. Let's go on. Sin brought spiritual death and physical death as well. By thinking about this dimension of physical death, we can actually conclude that sin also brought sickness and poverty along with it. Sickness and death came along with sin. You're going to find something out that sickness and poverty are agents of death. Sickness is a pre-death condition. Write that down. Sickness is a pre-death condition. You don't know that, but that little cold you got, if you didn't have something in your body fighting it off, that little cold is not there to make you sneeze. That little cold is in there to kill you. AIDS people can't fight off colds and infections and all this other stuff, and it's out to kill you. Sickness is a killer. All of it. It hangs around death. People think it's just a little, we get a little cold. Achoo. If you weren't able to fight that off, thank God you can fight it off. It would take you out. If a person gets sick, gets enough sickness or disease in his body, it will lead to death. Is that true? Does everybody agree?
Yes. Yes.
Sickness and diseases are a form of death in its early stages. If you don't stop it, if it completes its course, if it gets to that whole song, if sickness keeps gets to the end and conclusion of his little chorus, he's going to take you out. His last note is boom, gone. If you don't stop it, and the doctor's trying to stop that sucker from playing before he gets to the end of it. He's serious. Running up and down the scales, and many people's sickness is on the bridge, and they still won't stop the music. You better stop the music. I mean, when curtains close, curtains are closed. There are some people that mess around and play with stuff too long. Sickness is a predecessor to death. Also poverty. Poverty is also a pre-death condition. So I said, what? Poverty is a pre-death condition. If a person is starved for food and water and shelter and the comforts of life long enough, it will lead to death.
Amen.
If you don't have food, poor people don't get food, how long do you go without food? You go long enough, guess what? You're going to die. You be homeless long enough, you let it rain and snow, let winter come and sit out there long enough. I don't need nothing. You hang out there in the street long enough. Guess what? Same group. He belongs to that family. They're all killers. Any child of the devil is a killer. That cold, sickness, anything that the devil brought, guess what? It's got that in his bloodline. Anybody met crazy families? And you ever talk about them and say, they're all like that. You know, you ever met them? They're all like that. They're going to be fighting in no time. You get fighting families. I mean, you could be having a nice time, and, you know, 3 hours later, they're all fighting. They're all like that. It'll come up. Mentality. Well, anything the devil brought's got a mentality of death. They're going to try to kill you sooner or later. That sickness, poverty will get you along the side and say, I'm taking you straight to Jesus. I'm taking you straight to Jesus with a knife in his hand. Poverty is good for you. Was it in the Garden of Eden? No. Who brought it? The devil brought it. Don't have any part of it. Poverty was never a part of God's original plan, and sin, but when sin entered into the world, death came too. And with death came poverty in all its various forms. So we're under the understanding that all that stuff is bad. Say bad.
Bad.
Is bad.
Good
is good.
Bad
is the devil. Okay,
good
is God. It's that simple. That's all it needs. And the devil wanted to give them an education and let them know what it was all about. So God came that we might be prospered. Even before Jesus Christ, God had to deal with us in covenant. We were born into a covenant. Just letting God be good, that was a covenant we were born into. And we had to go with contracts. After we got into sin and we all were part of death. Anybody that does not have Jesus Christ as the Lord and personal Savior of their life, guess what? They are cursed. Period, point blank. Anybody. Anybody that's got Adam's blood running through their veins. Anybody with Adam's blood in their veins have forfeited blessing in their life, and they inherited death. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It takes the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. All of it. And gives us life more abundantly. Jesus is in the garden now. And I tell you what, you are not going to get in that garden but by Jesus Christ. There's an angel at the door. God placed an angel at the door to keep them boys out. So this abundant life can only be grabbed a hold of. This prosperous, abundant life. I'm not just talking about being rich. Of course you'll get to be rich, but I'm talking about rich in having your soul prosper and everything being together. I'm talking about the shalom of God. Nothing missing, nothing broken. You can get back into that again. God will put it back together again because of Jesus Christ. Right away. Right away. There were promises all the time, but we got a better covenant than any covenant ever before based on better promises. They had little get-by things. Can I tell you those covenants that they had? Moses' covenant, the Adamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. All those were good covenants, right? And they were able to make it. They were able to make it. But I tell you what, Jesus Christ came with a better covenant based on better stuff. A greater covenant. So we know that the covenant of Jesus, if it's better, better is what? Better. God wants you to come on back over. Completely set up again. To be completely restored again. Not just, God didn't put Adam in heaven. God had Adam reigning where? On the earth. He came to restore what he started originally. And the earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. He can't come back until we're walking like Jesus said we should walk. Like God created us to walk. There's something he's waiting to see. He's waiting to see us walk in authority, in abundance. He's waiting to see the children of God become spiritually prospered, that they might multiply and be just like him. He gave us authority. And Jesus said, greater works will you do. Why? Because I go to the Father and get on the inside of you. You'll do the same things I did and can do. You can put it back. You can have authority over sickness and disease. You can cause things that are not as though they are.
Amen.
Why was Jesus going around healing every manner of sickness and disease? Why it didn't belong there? He was pushing it back where it needed to go and establishing the covenant of God on the earth. Yeah. Its truth must march on through us. Sickness doesn't need to be in our midst. Disease doesn't need to be in our midst. Poverty does not need to be in our midst. Glory to God. He's waiting for the body of Christ to be fruitful and multiply and put things back where it belongs. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. Don't have the devil living in your life. Don't have evil in your life. Believe God for his best and start to walk in that anointing that Jesus walked in. He was pulling money out of fish's mouths. There is an anointing on you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. There's an anointing on you to go to the top and not to the bottom, to the front and not to the back. Amen. To grab a hold of the promise of God and see them come into manifestation by faith. Speak it and watch it happen. Why? God said so. Not a new thing. He's doing what he's already intended. That's what Jesus came to do. I'm trying to convince you there's an anointing on you to make money. There's a word from the Holy Ghost. You were created with a word on you that said be fruitful and multiply. The devil didn't like that because the devil had a curse over him. The devil didn't like that. He tried to mess that up. So he got over on Adam, and Jesus said, I'm going to come down and put things back where it belongs. Amen. Let him take it from Jesus. Let him try to take it from Jesus in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. He's not going to lose it again. Amen. He sent the Holy Ghost. See, the first time, you know, God was walking in the garden with us, but now he's walking within us. Amen. Let the devil try to deceive you with the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Let him try to steal from you again with the Holy Ghost living and abiding on the inside of you. You get a hold of what God wants to do, watch it turn around. Watch it turn around. Get a hold of the big stuff. Get a hold of the big stuff. Get a hold of the Word of God and you say this is the way it's supposed to be. And start to use your spiritual, start to spiritualize it. Somebody say, it all belongs to me. It all belongs to me. And the angels that God's assigned to you, the angels are going, I wish he'd hurry up and get his stuff so we can get out of here. If we just go back to what he originally said, if we just go back to what he originally said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish, this thing would be over. People don't want to walk in what God created them to walk in. They want to walk in just enough. Just enough and play games. Now you better get busy. Start believing God for millions. First of all, believe God to get out of debt and then say more. Thank God for Leroy Thompson. Money coming to me right now in Jesus' name. Money ain't going to come to you until you come to God. You come to God, money will come to you. Amen. So tired of seeing people just get a little bit. Just get a little bit and get out there and act like they somebody. You better get into the kingdom with that money. Because the devil was put out of the garden. How do you keep it? You get in the garden because there's angels at the garden. You see, you have entrance into the garden. See, people want to get a little bit of blessing and live on the outside of the garden. See, they want to live around the devil and expect to keep what God gives them. They get out there. As soon as you get your blessing, get inside the garden, get behind the angels, and stay protected. Stay under the blood. Stay under the covenant. I'm telling you what, as a pastor, I'm so tired of seeing people get blessed and broke, blessed and broke, blessed and broke, broke and blessed. One of the blessings is being able to stay blessed. Amen. It's the truth. How many of you seen it? Amen. Up today, down tomorrow. Once you get your stuff, you got it by the Spirit, keep it in the Spirit. Amen. Don't allow your spirit to get stuff and then give it over to your stupid flesh. Amen. Keep it in the Spirit. Find me some people that can hold on to the goodness of God going for the big stuff. We're tripping and falling over hundreds and thousands. You know, we're falling over, you know, $500 and we get $5,000 and we think the sky's falling $20,000. God can do much more than that. Amen. And we ain't even started yet. We ain't even started yet. He can do much more than that. There are blessings out there. You know, I'm preaching this word because all we need is one to grab a hold of that provision. It's possible if you just start to believe it and stop, get yourself out of that low mentality. You're in the league with everybody else. See, that's not God's league. Small stuff is not God's league. Get over into the biblical league. Get over there to the league with David and Solomon and Abraham and your great-granddaddy Adam. Prosperity is in your blood. Yes, it is. It's in your blood to do well. Amen. When you got Jesus coming to help you out, and they're trying to not to let you know what he was trying to tell you, all you got to do is listen to the Holy Ghost and walk that way and stop letting the devil steal from you. Amen. Push your flesh out of the way, your own understanding out of your way, your little tap dancing schemes. You can't tap dance up the abundance of God. You have to hear it in the spirit of the Holy Ghost and allow it to grow. It's the seed within your heart that's going to bring your fruit. Yeah. It pays. Amen. Don't cop out now. Don't cop out now. If you still got debt, you're still in Egypt. I'm serious. You still got debt, you're still in evil. You're not out yet. Don't dance yet. Get in the Holy Ghost and go for the whole thing. Amen. Believe to come completely out of debt. Believe for a complete storehouse. Amen. The Bible says he wants you to get to the point that you are able to give into every good work without biting your fingernails. Amen. And it's only just begun. And it's only just begun. Anybody going to go there with us?
Amen.
Anybody going to go there and watch it happen? That's not the average, and that's not the norm. Believe me, it's not. God can do it again, wants to do it again, but we got to have open hearts and great faith to see that come about. Amen. You have to get a hold of the supernatural. Prosperity is supernatural. It's not just learn this little principle, that little principle, and it'll just turn out right. You know, just nice people make more money. It's more than that. It's a supernatural thing. It goes beyond what a nice person can do. Say, I'm ready. Say, I'm ready. I'm ready for God's best. God can do much more than this. And I'm going to let him. I receive his best. I receive abundance. I receive the word of God. I say, hey, it's the truth. Let it be. Thy will be done on earth in my life, even as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. If you see yourself broke in heaven, guess what? You can have it on earth. But if you're not broke in heaven, don't you dare be broke on earth. Right. Or don't you ever pray the Lord's Prayer again. I totally believe for a complete debt-free mentality. And it doesn't have to happen 5 years from now. It doesn't have to happen a year from now. If God said it, it's his will for it to happen right now. If you grab a hold of the faith of God, he'll get you out of it. He wants to get you out of it. He wants you out of it more than you want to be out of it. He does. He wants to help you out. Don't you dare let mercy forsake you. Mercy sent Jesus. And stop worrying about your little small stuff and get on to the big stuff. Say, my God is able to meet every one of my needs according to his riches and glory. And I'm going to let him. What kind of person would God, you are calling God evil and unjust? For the Bible says, for a man to have to know to do good, when his friend comes to him and he is in need and he doesn't do it, that's a wicked and evil person.
That's right. Amen.
And we say, my God is able to meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. He just doesn't do it.
Amen.
There are a lot of people that are able that won't do it. But I'm here to tell you that God is able and he will do it.
Amen.
He is able and he will do it.
Amen.
He will get you out of debt. He will prosper you. He will heal you. He will set you free. He will turn things right around. Whatever you put your faith to, God will bring you out. Immediately, You just got to get your mouth open and say, I confess God's best in Jesus' name. I confess I call my money in. I call this debt over in Jesus' name. I call my city changed. I call the church full. And I call my bank account full in Jesus' name. I call my mind renewed in the Jesus' name. That's the problem. It's not what you don't have in the bank. It's what you don't have in your heart. You got to allow God to put it in your heart, and then you got to have your heart minister to your mind.
Yeah.
Say, I'm getting rich.
Real rich.
And ain't nobody going to stop me. And Jesus is happy about it. He's in on it too. God is on my side. Who can be against me? God's looking for reasons to bless you. Reasons to show off. He won't walk your way. He wants you to walk his way. He's a king. He's not going on your budget. He wants to go on his budget. Let him take care of the expenses. He's the boss. Stop limiting what you're going to allow God to do. Go on and believe God to change nations. Don't you want to make a difference in the world? What difference your broke self going to make in the world? I mean, you can't even buy somebody a hamburger sometime. What difference you going to make? Be for real. People need more than hugs. They need somebody who can make a difference. And you better start to believe God that you're going to have the ability to make a difference. Start to believe God. You're going to be the one that if somebody comes to you in need, you're going to be able to take care of it.
Amen.
I'm not just going to pay your rent this month. I'm not just going to see your house go out of foreclosure. I'm going to pay the sucker off. Yes, speaking of it, we're going to see it.
Yes.
Powerful. That's dominion and authority. Anybody know somebody got a dominion and authority broke? He got all authority. See that broke man? He got all the authority. Say, I'm going for God's best. And I declare in Jesus' name that I will walk in authority and dominion. And I will have the power. Ability and the means to affect and influence others in Jesus' name. Strengthen me, O God, that I can make a difference in this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stop thinking about your stuff. Stop thinking about your stuff and living according to your own standard, just trying to go paycheck to paycheck. How selfish. Stop thinking just about when you can get retired and have your own stuff taken care of. Start to think about the world. Start to get over there and say, I can't do all this stuff in my own ability. I want to walk like those people in the Bible walked. God will enable you to do that. It's all throughout Scripture. He didn't give you any weakling examples. None. Say, I can't do what God wants me to do without his blessing. You got to get his blessing on what you want him to do. And the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Many people want to get by on life without God's blessing.
Amen.
You better go to the Father and get his blessing.
Amen.
I will do what God wants me to do. And his blessing
will
always be his blessing.
Amen.
How many times do you have to read in Scripture that God calls you blessed? What kind of blessing you think you got? Some special blessing doesn't have any ability to prosper? Some different thing he just made up? A word? Well, you're blessed, but this blessing will do nothing. No big special blessing he cooped up with no power behind it. Everybody that he said was blessed in the Bible was blessed in the Bible. And
showed up.
And you got blessing on your life. God's called you blessed. Start to walk in it. Start to believe it. It's not that God hadn't done it since you hadn't exercised your faith on it.
Amen.
You just haven't challenged your blessing. You just haven't confessed it. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I mean, you better look at your stuff. Start looking at your walls and calling them walls painted. Start looking at the carpet and calling them new. Amen. Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from evil. Say it again. Deliver me from evil. From the trap of loneliness, defeat, poverty, pain, misery, fear, destruction, calamity, lack of knowing God, lack of joy in the Holy Ghost, lack of quality life, confusion, all those things. Deliver me in the name of Jesus. And I call forth a quality life in Jesus' name. And I expect it to manifest. Not just when I get up into the kingdom to come, but right here and right now. I command a better life for you in Jesus' name. I command a better life for you in Jesus' name. I demand for something to change in Jesus' name. You come out. Hallelujah. You come out in Jesus' name. Give the devil his stuff back, and you take your stuff back.
Amen.
Get spiritual on him. Take your debt down spiritually. Amen. What? My checkbook's doing that again. Ha-yaka-mo-hu-shi-ki. Get your faith up.
Amen.
Kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You better get ugly with your stuff. Amen. You better get violent for it. The violent grab a hold of it. Everything you got because you were violent. You didn't get it because you were crying about it. Crying over your bills ain't going to pay him. And crying over your bills not going to make Jesus show up. Faith moves God. You better get in faith.
We bless your holy name. Bless you, Jesus. You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in the Woodlands, Texas.